Welcome to the Smash and Grab Show. My name is Jeff Kaufman. I'm the founder of BetaSyndicate.com and longtime podcast show host of the Smash and Grab Show. And I'm going solo. I've got a few things I want to talk about today. But first, I want to do an introduction to any new listeners. My name is Jeff Kaufman. I'm the founder of Beta Syndicate. I've been in crypto since 2012. I bought my first Bitcoin at 22 cents. Long story, I'm not a millionaire. I sold all my Bitcoin to hire a lawyer during a divorce and custody dispute. And it was, if I remember correctly, I had 1,213 Bitcoin, and I sold 1,200, and somewhere in a landfill in South Carolina is 13 Bitcoin on a hard drive on an old HP desktop. I like telling that story. Anyways, I've been around crypto. I was there at the fork for Ethereum. I was there at the launch of Digibyte. I was there for a lot of stuff in the very beginning and early stages of crypto. I could tell you some stories. Let's just put it this way. I could tell you some really crazy stories about cryptocurrencies and the things that I remember happening. I can go all the way back to when the founder of Digibyte got in an argument with Brian Armstrong, the founder of Coinbase. That's how far back some of my history goes. And I go further than that. I was involved with writing content on one of the first Bitcoin sales sites. It wasn't the first, but it was one of the first. I believe it was like, well, maybe number five or six in websites that came out, developed so you could buy and sell Bitcoin on it. It was called BitCycle. I don't know if anybody remembers that or not, but I was one of the content writers for that website. And that's actually the same website that I bought and sold my first Bitcoins on. And that was in 2012, near the end, almost 2013. It was 2012, though, because I remember buying it in October, right before my birthday of that year. Anyways, I've been in the business for a long time. I've been working around crypto projects, working in crypto projects, mostly as a contributing writer or contributing editor, but I was always involved in the marketing aspect of a lot of crypto projects, and that's really where I got the taste of the inner workings of blockchain. And I can tell you that it didn't taste good at all. I did not like how things work in the back office of a cryptocurrency. And after getting a good taste of it from a few projects, I really realized that, you know, a lot of the crypto influencers, well, of course, I would hope that you know this if you've been in the business, but a lot of crypto influencers, especially back in the day, didn't divulge that they were being paid to talk about a cryptocurrency. They didn't have to. There were no regulations. There was nobody watching over them and saying, "Hi, you have to do this." So for a long time, and I can say this about Crypto Lark in his early stages, you know, he would make a tremendous amount of money just to mention a project in his show. I remember distinctly Energy. NRG, spelling is EN, energy with an I instead of a Y, I believe paid him something like $14,000 just to mention their project for 15 minutes in one of his shows. He didn't have to disclaim that back then. It might have been $7,000 and maybe he made $14,000 on a second one. I don't remember. It's a long time ago. But I do remember that the marketer that was in charge, the managing, the marketing manager that was in charge of the project, telling me that that's money well spent. And I thought to myself, you just paid someone $7,000 just to mention your project. He doesn't even give a flying fuck about your project. He's not even involved in the project, has never even once stuck his head in the Discord or Telegram or anywhere, but you're going to pay him this X amount of money just because he has a large amount of following and he's a popular YouTube influencer. That was the bottom line for me, and that was when I really started to look at how things work in crypto. The money spent in marketing is insane. You would not imagine the amount of money, and I've talked about this in one of my past podcasts, but I've actually got a PDF file. I've got two PDF files, actually, from two different crypto projects that are pretty popular, well-known on a lot of exchanges. I'm not going to go into details, but I can say that I got a list of expenditures for one particular project where they spent $65,000 just to have their project mentioned in a Forbes, or no, it wasn't even Forbes. I believe it was an American Express financial website. That's the kind of thing that I wanted to talk about today. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to Luna Classic. Now, I've been paying attention to Luna Classic, and I'm not very heavily invested. I believe I own 600,000 Luna Classic. I've been paying attention to Bull of Binance Street. I'm sure a lot of people have out there. And today he posted something that he's getting out of Lunic. He's getting out of Luna Classic, and the Luna Classic community is pretty miffed about it. They're not upset necessarily as much as they are going through the same metamorphosis that I went through in crypto years ago with energy. They're realizing that crypto influencers are not exactly the most reliable source of information. Okay, now I'm not saying anything bad about Bull of Binance Street because I actually know Bull. I actually know his real name, but and I don't really support all the things he does. Now, he has compensated me to write about him before, and I have obviously disclaimed that. But when I see a crypto community suffering and they get an extra dagger in the back by one of the most influential crypto influencers, it kind of upset me because, number one, Luna Classic is going through a lot of, well, they're going through their own metamorphosis, so to speak. They're going through a lot of turbulence. They're going through a lot of problems in their community. There's a lot of finger pointing, a lot of bullshit, really, if you want to, you know, excuse my French, if you want to get down to it. Now, a lot of people are complaining about the proposals that are being coming out. And I stuck my head in there and I can see how people are looking at it and just, you know, getting frustrated or upset, or maybe perhaps, you know, it's just too much drama. And, you know, I've been in so many crypto, I could tell you stories. I could sit here and tell you stories about drama and crypto projects and how communities, oh my God, I could tell you stories. I could tell you stories. I've been in this business for 10 fucking years. I have seen this play out time and time and time again. Now, I want people to understand this because it's really important. Crypto influencers are a dime a dozen. They literally are. Get on Twitter, you could probably find yourself a few hundred within just a few moments if you did the right keyword searches. Crypto influencers are everywhere and anywhere, and they can be as well established as Bull of Binance Street, or they could be as small as some guy named, you know, These Nuts, okay? For the majority of crypto influencers, and I'm not actually saying any particular crypto influencer, and I'm not actually labeling any crypto influencer that I'm aware of, but I am going to tell you how it's done and how this works. And a lot of people don't realize this. A lot of people get into following crypto influencers because they offer good advice, or they're transparent on their trades, or they're always doing this or always doing that. There's something you might think is unique about a crypto influencer, and that's why you're following this particular crypto influencer. Now, again, I'm not speaking directly about any particular crypto influencer, but I'm getting a lot of notifications because I'm a busy man. I've had to try to mute my notifications because I cannot do a podcast without getting at least 10 or 15 notifications on average. Now, the truth about crypto influencers, okay? Are you ready to hear this? This is the truth about crypto influencers. They make money by shilling you their bags. Plain and simple, a majority of crypto influencers do this. They target a cryptocurrency. They buy in at the lowest of the lows. And then they go on their Twitter, or even now, I guess you could say some of them go on their TikTok or their Instagram. They get online where they have a large number of followers, sometimes hundreds of thousands, and they'll talk about that cryptocurrency. They don't even have to tell their community actually to buy it. They're just mentioning it. Well, when you buy in at the bottom, and let's just say you bought in at the bottom of Luna Classic, and you're a big crypto influencer, and you want to increase your earnings, and you want to bank some money, you're going to buy into bottom, you're going to go on your heavily followed Twitter account, and you're going to start talking about this currency and building hype. Now, that currency you bought in at the bottom starts to go up, and it goes up, and it goes up, and it goes up, and then you're cashing out. You're making your profit. At the same time, you're not telling anybody you're doing that. You just keep talking about the currency as it's going up, as it's going up, as it's going up. You keep pushing it. You make your profit and you get out, but you don't tell anybody. And then you slowly start telling people it's time to get out. You start dropping the FUD and you start spreading the FOMO. And the next thing you know, you've been out for 2 weeks. You've actually sold that currency 2 weeks ago, but none of your followers are aware of that because there's no way, unless they actually have your wallet address and are actually following what you're doing. But there's no way for them to actually know if you sold your currency or not. So for a large number of some crypto influencers' followers, they continue to buy in and buy in because they don't know that their favorite influencer basically just sold them their bag. This is how the majority of crypto influencers on Twitter work. They buy at the bottom, they shill you their bag, you buy in, increase their earnings, they get out, but you have no idea. They keep pushing it just to keep grace, just to so you'll go, God, I really love this influencer. He's great. He's no paper hands here, man. This guy's the best. Well, I just want you to know that this is how it has been playing out since I've been in this business. This is literally what I've seen happen more times than I can count. And it continues to happen today because nobody really knows or understands or even appreciates how this works. And for a vast majority of crypto influencers out there, this is exactly what they do. They are not concerned with the project. They are not concerned whether your project succeeds or fails. They are not concerned if you actually have utility. They are not concerned if you actually bring value to blockchain. They are not concerned with anything but the bottom line. This is business. This is how businesses normally run. The bottom line supersedes all. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't help the little guy. That doesn't help your average everyday investor, who is the backbone of this industry. I say that because it's the truth. All the whales combined do not add up to all the average everyday investors. They don't. For every major investor, for every whale, there are countless thousands upon thousands of crypto entrepreneurs and investors that have bought into the same project. Otherwise, crypto influencers would not exist today if it wasn't for their followers, if it wasn't for people being easily influenced, especially with crypto, where there's this belief or this sort of charm or this sort of feeling that you might become extraordinarily rich. And you can. I mean, no doubt, you can become extraordinarily rich with the right buy. But it's this whole, the FOMO. It's the fear of missing out. It's the fear that if you don't invest in this project, you're not going to get your return. It's that fear of, if I do invest in this project, then I'm not going to get a return. And then you see it's the constant psychosis of missing out. It really is. missing out on selling to get out of a project and missing out on buying to get into a project. So when you have a crypto influencer using FOMO on their own followers and they made their bank already, it becomes a sort of a shameless cycle. And a lot of the average everyday crypto investors don't or are not or don't care to be aware of this fact, because it can make you feel pretty stupid for buying into a project based on just a few simple typed words in a post. You're relying on a very small figment of information, a small filament of information, a very small smidgen of information to make a decision that you should not be making. Now, I'm going to talk about something that I think is important on top of this. Now, I'm trying to teach people that are just getting into crypto. I'm trying to teach them some of the back alley, black alley deals that go on in this business. This is how some of the very nastiest places in crypto have become some of the most influential places in crypto. I say this because it's true. Twitter is a cesspool. Twitter is an absolute total cesspool. It's toxic, it's hurtful, it's harmful, and it's not good for anybody. And it's one of the last places you should be trying to obtain information about a cryptocurrency from. I say that because I want you to stay away from Twitter when you're making decisions on your financial future, because I'm going to tell you right now, any information you find on Twitter, 99% of it is bullshit. The 1% that's remaining is really good bullshit. Twitter is one of the most toxic places in crypto. Facebook is not a very healthy place for crypto influencers or their followers either. Facebook is horrible. I've been migrating slowly. I have a bag, but it's not a cryptocurrency. I have a bag. That's not a turkey call, I promise. But, okay, so if you're going to look up information, okay, about cryptocurrencies, try to get as much information as possible directly from the official websites for that crypto information that you're looking for. I mean, if you're interested in Dogecoin, get the information from Dogecoin. Don't get your information from Billy Bob the Dogecoin Doctor on Twitter. Don't get your information from the champ of Dogecoin on Twitter. Get your information directly from the source, okay? Go to their online communities. Make sure it's their official online communities, because you don't want to fall into the trap of getting involved with a scam Telegram channel. Make sure everything's official, okay? So if you're interested in a project, like I said, Dogecoin. If you're interested in a project like Dogecoin, get all your information from their official channels. Don't go on Twitter trying to get information from Billy Bob Thornton, the crypto god. No, you want to go online directly to the official channels, their official communities, and do your research there. Get involved with their communities. Go on Telegram. Join your Telegram channel. Spend 10, 15, 20 minutes in there, even if it's not very busy. Read some of the posts. Go backtrace. Start at the very beginning. If the project's early enough, you can read 2 or 3 months worth of a Telegram feed in about an hour. That is research. That is some of the research that you could do into a crypto project. Don't go on Twitter and look up Charismatic Charlie's Crypto Review. Don't go look up betasyndicate.com either. Go to the official outlets of information for a cryptocurrency you're interested in. Don't waste your time with crypto influencers. I'm telling you this because it's the truth. Okay? Don't waste your time with crypto influencers. Don't fucking do it. It's not worth your time. It's definitely not fucking worth your money. And trust me, it's not worth the feeling of being burnt in the end. All right, so let's start off with the three C's. My three C's in the morning, okay? Unfortunately, one of them I'm trying to stop, okay? One of these cigarette, okay? You get the cigarette. That's unfortunately C number one. C number two, which is a good and bad thing, but coffee. Okay, that's C number two, coffee. I happen to be a Cafe Bustelo drinker. I do like my espressos. I do like my coffee rich and strong. I like my women. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I won't go there. Okay, so that was C number two. And C number three, now I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to drop a hint. Hopefully you're paying attention and you're as intelligent as I hope you are. You must be intelligent if you tuned into my show. That goes without saying. Anybody that tunes into a smash and grab show is obviously an extremely intelligent human being. I mean, you must be the top of your class. You are, and I know it because you're here listening to the show. And I'm proud of you. The other C is... It's not crack. Oh, God. Yeah, so what was I talking about? The third C of my morning happens to be cannabis. Very tasty and delicious cannabis. I need a minute. So yeah, what was I talking about? I don't even, where the fuck was I? So, sorry, I don't have any class. I try. So, back to what I was talking about. Not that I forgot, but back to it. What you need to do when you start researching a project is to stay away from the hype. Okay? That is probably the best bit of advice that I can give you in crypto. Stay away from the hype. And the hype is everywhere. Let's take an example. Let's talk about the. We're going to talk about the, and I'm going to talk about Aptos, and I'm going to talk about a couple other things on my mind. But let's talk about the, okay? This is another good example of staying away from the hype. The protocol started basically as an utterance by Vitalik Buterin. Somebody picked up on it and created a cryptocurrency on the Ethereum chain called the. It has absolutely zero adoption, has absolutely zero value, zero. It's just a coin that was just minted. And I'm going to say this. The is a piece of shit. It's a piece of trash cryptocurrency. It has absolutely no extrinsic value, has absolutely no use cases. It just launched because somebody thought it would be cute. It created a massive buy-in. And let me tell you why people are buying it and why people bought it. Because of the hype. The hype. Nothing else but the hype. The hype. That was it. Nothing else. It was the only reason anybody bought into it was because of the hype. The fear of missing out. That's it. That's the only reason why anybody bought into the. Had nothing to do with the promise of technology or the or even any kind of real world value. Nothing. It was just an utterance by Vitalik Buterin and some person, somebody decided, wow, I'm going to take the word the and I'm going to create a cryptocurrency with it and I'm going to market it and people are going to buy it and it's absolutely going to do absolutely nothing but drain your fucking wallet because it is nothing but a meme token. I mean, that's really all it is. But the fucking hype behind the FOMO, the influencers, the media reach for a project that has absolutely no real value. People are going to get hurt by the. And it's because people follow the hype. People follow the FOMO. People follow who says what, when, and by who. That is probably one of the most unfortunate circumstances in crypto that still really hurts us today as an industry. Is this childish, freakish, basic scams. Maybe the might do something. I don't know. It might become a great cryptocurrency. Or it could just be one amongst so many thousands and thousands of others that came out, became a hyped up project, and then vanished into the night to do nothing. So let's talk about Aptos. Okay, I actually got asked this question by Michael Chalion, or am I probably saying his name wrong? He's a Blockhead Hunter on LinkedIn, and he actually asked the question, what do you think of Aptos? Okay, this was a few days ago, and I answered it precisely like this. The market is responding to a project with a lot of hype behind it, and people are buying in at the top at $2 or $3 or $4 at the time. Now it's at $9. People are still buying at the top. Aptos is a project that came out and said, we're going to be the fastest chain in the world and the most secure, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. How many projects have you got signed up? Well, just a couple. Okay, what's the start? Why are you worth $9 a piece? Now, there are countless first layer, second layer chains out there. Let's just let Harmony for an example. Why the fuck is that not valued at $1 or $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 a piece? Why not? Why wouldn't Harmony have some sort of higher value rate? I mean, after all, it's one of the fastest, most cheapest cryptocurrencies in the world. Let's talk about Digibyte. Same thing. If you were to trade places with Aptos's marketing and shilling and hype and put another project in there like Digibyte, they would have almost the same traction. But I'm just saying hypothetically, if you took a project like Digibyte and gave it the same treatment of the media like they have for Aptos, you would see Digibyte go excuse my sound effects, but that's basically what would happen. That's what's gonna happen. Because it's all about media now. Now, I remember back in the day, when there was hardly a whisper about blockchain and crypto. Hardly a whisper. I think the most major media event that came to play was that stupid asshole that bought pizza with his Bitcoin. That was like the most we saw in the media about, oh my God, we're in the media. Oh shit, they actually mentioned Bitcoin. I remember sitting at my computer when that happened. And the people were in a chat room and they're like, oh my God, it's happening. We're in the news now. You know, we didn't hear a whisper about Bitcoin after that in mainstream media, hardly at all. It was just that one thing. And it was like, oh, such a big deal to the community because people were talking about Bitcoin. Well, now fast forward 10 years. This is where we are. The media has got its hooks in the crypto. It's got its hooks in the blockchain. And now the media can basically decide what chain and what project's going to succeed based on the amount of hype and media they throw at it. Don't believe me? Okay, well then explain Aptos. Explain the. Explain Shibas. I'm just saying, let's be honest about things and how they work in cryptocurrencies. These things that I'm telling you are factual. They're not made up. I'm not some guy sitting behind a desk going, no, I'm going to make millions off my bag. I'm going to shill it to the moon. Don't buy the hype. Buy the project, right? That's what you want to say. But here you are watching how this works. If you want to make money, don't listen to me. If you want to make money, follow crypto influencers. Become friends with them. Pay attention to what the media says. Because today, that is how you're going to make money in blockchain. When I was involved in blockchain, you made money because people were paying attention to the project. Today, you make money because people are paying attention to Joe Blow, the crypto god, on Twitter and maybe Forbes magazine. I'm giving you an example of how things are working now, because this is a very precarious place for blockchain to be in the industry that we are in, or in the era of this industry that we are in. Because projects are not being decided based on their abilities, based on any kind of value they bring into the industry. It's based on which media outlet is talking about them and why are they talking about them. It doesn't necessarily work in the essence of that, like Forbes magazine tells you to buy a project. It's just because they're talking about it, just because of FOMO. F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. It is probably one of the worst things for crypto because it works in so many different ways. There's so many different ways to create FOMO. There's so many different ways to create FUD in a project. There's so many ways to manipulate the price of a project today than it was when I got involved in this industry. When I got involved in this industry, it was very hard for people to get a mainstream media influence. It was impossible. You were using YouTube influencers. You were using Twitter influencers. You were using guys with podcasts. And that was basically it. But now there's, you know, Forbes. And I'm sorry to keep bringing up Forbes. It's one of the quickest ones that comes to mind. But Forbes. And you've got a plethora. You've got countless outlets now in the mainstream media that shill themselves. And I mean that. They are telling you and scaring you. They are sharing information with you on such a constant basis that when I was involved in crypto in the early days, there was none of that. It was all based on community. And it was all based on a very small margin of media influencers. It wasn't like you see today where you can turn on the TV and see a commercial about a currency now. You're walking into a gas station to go pay for your gas bill and there's a Bitcoin machine. The thing is, these are all things that we wanted 10 years ago. These were all things that we wanted 10 years ago. And you know, 5 years ago. These were all things that we wanted. God, we wanted to be in the mainstream media. We wanted to have the attention of the world. And now that we have it, we also have all the extra that comes with it, and that's media influencers, and that's having that mainstream media acknowledgement. And if you don't get it, how are you going to succeed? How can you succeed without the mainstream media helping you, especially today? That's a problem that a lot of projects are seeing. They're not in the hype. They're not in the loop. They're not part of that circle. If you can get Vitalik Buterin to say the word the and launch a cryptocurrency just based on that fucking three-letter word, tell me where blockchain is heading. Tell me where we are heading. Tell me where we're going to be in 5 more years if this is what we're going to get. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it's cool. You know, I think it's cool. I really do. I love this industry. But if we don't really take this industry serious enough, because we haven't. We haven't taken this industry serious enough for years. It's going to become more and more damaged. It's becoming more and more less trustworthy. Nobody wants to do business in crypto because they're seeing the fucking bullshit. I mean, let's just be honest about it and excuse my French again. Excuse my French, but that's really where we are today. We're an industry based on the media. We're not an industry based on value. We're not an industry that was based on the word of mouth. We're an industry based on who can get on a Super Bowl commercial. And that's unfortunate. But this is what we wanted. This is what we wanted years and years ago when I was involved in cryptocurrencies and people were just wanting to get someone to mention their project on a YouTube channel and willing to spend $7,000, $14,000, $20,000 to do it. That was a big deal. Now, things have changed. Mainstream media's got their hooks into the blockchain business, and the industry is suffering because of it. And I say that because simply the. It is a shame. It's a shame because somebody smart made millions of dollars, millions, on a project that has no real value. It's just a fucking word. I'm not being negative. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on the. I'm hating on the industry. I'm hating on the fact that this is where we are. This is where we've come. And there are so many projects out there with real substantial value to bring to the real world in everyday lives. And they don't get half of the freaking mentions or FUD. I mean, half of the freaking hype or FOMO. Look, okay, listen. Real world value in blockchain, a project that brings that into reality, should be all the talk of the world. It should be the biggest thing that we talk about every day. But we don't. Let's look at Zeliqua for a second and their gaming console. excuse me, but let's just talk about that for a second. I think it's an important subject because we have a cryptocurrency with a long-standing reputation, a really good, strong standing reputation, with an actual hardware device, a gaming console. And from what I understand, 3 or 4 games. And it gets talked about less in the media, but a project like The becomes headliners on every major media outlet that has anything or everything to do with crypto. I want you to think about that for a second, because if you really think about it, Zeliqua, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Excuse me. I've actually been in this industry for 10 years, and I still don't know if it's Zeliqua or Zeliqua. I call it Zeliqua. Fuck off. Zeliqua has a gaming console, an actual hardware device, something that may become really important to the industry. But nobody's talking about it. Real world value. It is able to cross the boundaries between what people call a Ponzi scheme and what people are actually working towards for the future of blockchain, making it actually bring real value to our everyday lives. But we're talking about the. We're talking about Aptos. We're talking about Joe Schmo and his crypto ball of whatever currency bullshit. We're talking about the hype. We're talking about this. We're talking about that. But we're not talking about actual value. We're not talking about actual real tangible projects with real tangible products. We're talking about the. And Vitalik, lick your buttering. Don't get me started. Okay? Don't get me started. Oh yeah. And this this whole thing that people are talking about now, that I'm gonna go right back to Luna Classic real quick. The proposal thing, okay? I've read a lot of that shit, okay? I've got two or three Telegram accounts. I don't always use my professional account when I go into someone's Telegram, and nobody is ever gonna know what that account is because that's my secret undercover. Go into your Twitter, I mean, go into your Telegram and listen to your shit account without anybody seeing that I'm in there. Not that I'm really concerned with people knowing that I'm in there, but I am. Because I've noticed a change in tone and how people act when I land in a Telegram channel, with a few projects now over the years. I pay attention to shit. I have a reputation that sort of supersedes itself, okay? Let me just put it that way. I'm not a stranger to call out projects for their bullshit, and I have been banned from plenty of them. Trust me, because I ask the questions they don't want asked. And that is one of the fastest ways to get kicked out of a Telegram channel, just so you know. Yeah, you're supposed to go in and just keep your mouth shut and then clap and cheer only. Don't ask any really specific questions about a project because then that usually leads to two or three things happening. Number one, you'll get kicked. Or number two, they'll mute you. Or number three, they'll kick you and mute you and totally expunge you from anything having to do with the community at all. Even on Twitter, they will have you. They will make sure that you are well watched and taken care of. Seriously, it has happened to me so many times. I don't have the phalangi to count. If you know what phalangi is. Right, so I'm trying to give you some pointers, trying to help you out. I'm talking about bullshit that's going on in this industry. And it's important bullshit. These are things you need to pay attention to. And these are the things that have been happening. And these are the things that I've noticed and been talking about for a while now. Real world value, tangible products are more important than a project named the Aptos or anything else. Oh, God. You know, I keep getting these I'm on Telegram, right? And I'm on every anything and anything social except for Truth Social because that's really bullshit social. I'm on every damn social network there is. And I have to say LinkedIn is probably one of the worst. LinkedIn, Jesus, Lord Almighty. I'm sorry, excuse my French, but oh my God. I get so much spam and shit from LinkedIn. It's hilarious. Now, it doesn't compete with Twitter because I can open up my Twitter right now and go into my messages, and I guarantee you I probably have about 200 to 300 spam messages right now on my Twitter. And I'm not even that important. You know what I mean? I'm just a schmuck. But LinkedIn is getting bad. I love LinkedIn. Don't get me wrong. I actually like LinkedIn. I'm not afraid to admit it. I like LinkedIn. I think it's great. I think it's a nice platform for a lot of different things. It's not so business minded as it used to be because now people talk politics, you know, and there's racism. I've actually, you know, I've seen all kinds of shit, okay, on LinkedIn, just like any other social platform. It's just really odd because LinkedIn was always that kind of had that professional veneer, that veil of, you know, let's talk business only here. Don't bring up your mother and your sister and your cousin. Let's talk business. And now it's kind of changed, and now people talk about their sister and their cousin and their brother. And it's really not what it used to be, but it's still a really good platform for networking. It's a really good platform for meeting people. A lot of business goes on there. I do a lot of business on LinkedIn, but I'm just getting frustrated. Like I'm just sitting here right now and I've got two notifications. It's fucking Sunday. Okay, I've got a guy who's obviously hungry looking for work, like I am, and he's messaged me three, four times on a Sunday. Now, you know what would be really cool for LinkedIn? You know what I think would be really cool for LinkedIn? Is that you could set your hours for LinkedIn. Yeah, like Monday through Friday, that's it. I can tweet, I can post Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. I want a fucking break from the notifications. Okay? It's a 5-day work week for some people. Might be a 7-day work week for others. I know I work 24/7, 365 days a year. But you know what would be great is if it just automatically muted your notifications on Saturday and Sunday. I hope LinkedIn's listening. I think it'd just be great. You know, let's act like we're a professional app and we're built by professionals. We should not be getting bullshit on a fucking Sunday. I'm just saying, come on, LinkedIn, get your shit together. What are we? I think Sundays, LinkedIn should take a day off like Chick-fil-A. Well, anyways, I want to talk about a couple more things. I don't even know what the fuck I was talking about, but I obviously, I've done enough of 1C this morning. Oh, coffee, cannabis, and a cigarette. I don't know if that's like brain food or something. It's supposed to help me. I don't think it does, but it doesn't matter. I'm doing it anyways. And excuse my nasal thing. I've got my whole family came down with some sort of, I don't know what it is, bug of some sort. Everybody's got it. Stuffy nose, sore throat. It's just really nasty. And I feel like crapola. And it's starting to hit me. And my rest of my family's already going through it. And I just don't want anything to do with it. I don't want to get sick. I don't like getting sick. But it is allergy season. It is cold and flu season. And, you know, and still we have this COVID variants. I just read one today. It was like, what are you guys coming up with these names for this COVID variants? You know, like we're at SR46638. What the fuck is this? Okay, guys, time for another booster. Let's get another booster in there, guys, because there's another variant. It's called COVID-338PQ, and it's really bad. It causes toe fungus. And we're noticing a lot of people are getting sock rot. No, but I mean, I'm being serious. You know, I mean, right back to where I was with the hype. And you can thank COVID for helping with that. I have no doubt in my mind that COVID is a very bad virus that has killed a lot of people. But I do question the vaccine. Not getting vaccinated, mind you. I'm only saying this because I am not vaccinated. I've had COVID 3 times and I'm okay. Just say, and it's not really by choice. I'm doing the best I can to make a logical and intelligent decision about vaccines. I think they came out too fast. We don't know enough about them. All these boosters seem to be odd to me. We made a choice based not on political, because I'm a Democrat, not based on political motivations or rhetoric or anything like that. We made the decision based on our own intelligence and our own knowledge about the virus and what's been going on and the fact that we've caught it before we knew we even had it. And we had it before we even knew we caught it. And we bought it, or we fought it, we won. The family has had it 3 times now. Yes, we have contemplated getting the virus, the vaccination, or the treatment, whatever you want to call it, because it's not really a vaccination if you can still catch it. We have given some thought to that, and we still are contemplating getting it. We're just giving it some time. My wife comes from medical background, and I come from total genius pool of genius genetics. I don't think I'm smarter than Elon Musk. I just don't think I'm as dumb as Elon Musk. Anyways, I actually probably could be smarter than Elon Musk, but it all depends on your perspective. Intelligence isn't really a degree or a piece of paper. It's really in the ether of the human, if that makes any sense. I hope it does, because that's how I firmly believe intelligence should be weighed, based on every aspect of who you are. Some of us could be dropped off in the middle of Alaska with, you know, a penknife and a toothpick and, you know, come out wearing a bearskin rug and some of us would perish. I think intelligence has a lot to decide. I think there's a little bit of intelligence that decides that outcome. And I think intelligence should be weighed in different variants. And you may be technically inclined, or you may not be, or maybe you're spiritually or artistically. Intelligence comes on in so many different variants. I mean, once you meet one genius, it doesn't mean you're going to, every genius you meet is going to be the same. And I say that because it's the truth, just like fingerprints. Everybody's different. Someone might be a genius in one aspect in life and be a genius in something else. Or you might just be a complete fucking retard. And that happens too. But excuse my French. It's really... Welcome to the Smash and Grab Show. I just, excuse me. The point I'm trying to make is that there was no point. I'm totally rambling. I've had some cannabis, and I'm really not sure if I should even publish a show. But we're just going to keep going forward. Anyways, I got 10 minutes. So let's talk about Beta Syndicate. What I really like for you to do is send me $100,000 tomorrow. That'd be great. And I'm going to invest that $100,000 into a sailboat. And we're going to outfit that sailboat with cameras. And we're going to start up a YouTube channel dedicated to this sailboat. And we are going to sail around the world while I run Beta Syndicate and write and work my business from the boat. The idea is to become the first fully off-grid publication. We want to buy a sailboat, outfit it with solar panels to the wazoo. And we're not looking for a luxury craft, okay? I mean, yeah, you know, the nicer the boat, the better, but we're not out, you know, looking for a Jeff Bezos super yacht. We're looking for something tangible that we can do all this with. You know, outfit it. I'll get it set up with the best electronics, the best solar, the best batteries, get it outfitted with cameras and make it almost like a live 24/7 almost YouTube channel. I would really think that would be cool. Maybe even have like, you know, different aspects of the boat being available 24/7 online or as much as humanly possible. And it's not just about the people that are going to be on the boat. It's just going to be... the complete package, really. You're going to be traveling, you're going to be visiting distant places, and constantly on the move, maybe stay in a place for a couple weeks, or maybe a week, or a few days, or maybe even a couple months, and build our business on top of what we're doing, and just, it's a very large, and I say large, a very big idea that we all have as a family, to make this happen. I want Beta Syndicate to be the first off-grid, fully decentralized magazine. I know that sounds crazy, but that's really what I want to do. And then I want our ship to be basically like a YouTube channel that, I don't know if you ever watched Sailing SV Delos or any of those kind of sailing shows on YouTube. I'm really into SV Delos. I think it'd be really cool to be able to outfit a boat this way with the cameras, an array of cameras and stuff, you know, so the occupants on the boat can have some privacy, but so people can see things they probably would not be able to see, you know, normally from the comfort of their, you know, lazy boy in front of their TV set at home. I want people to feel like they can get on that boat at any time, you know what I mean, digitally, and actually be part of the boat. And experience in everyday experience, you know, like I wonder what they're doing today or where they're at, or, you know, different camera systems mounted on the boat in different places where you can see things and, you know, not intrude on the privacy of the actual occupants or the people that are beyond the boat, but to see everything that we can see from a visual standpoint, from the crow's nest to the bow and the stern to, you know, just the waves crashing on the everything, you know, anything you could imagine, you know, maybe even, you know, like a sail camera. So you can see, you know, a upward view of the sail, you know, that kind of stuff. And I would like to put the instrumentation online so people can see the wind speed and how many knots we're going, things like that. So I think that would kind of be cool. And of course, I've also, people have told me, to protect the security and privacy and stuff like that, that, maybe put a 2 day to even a week buffer. I know that sounds crazy, but like, instead of it being live, make it so it appears live, but at least have a buffer. I don't know why, but I'm gonna get into that in another show. Why that was important, I guess because of safety reasons. It keeps you from being tracked by bad actors, I guess. I don't know, but if you're interested in that, we would love some Bitcoin donations. I know that's kind of obscene to say after everything I just said, but nobody's really donated to the actual business. We have no donations minus a $100 donation that was going towards our cryptocurrency that we wanted to launch, which is a proof of purchase token. Has no utility. It's not a speculative currency. It's just a proof of purchase token. I guess you can call it a pot coin. Ha! Proof of purchase token. No, it didn't work. No, it's a pop, whatever. Listen, the intention of this show today was to talk about crypto influencers and the media and how to avoid buying into the hype, which I really didn't cover. But basically, I just want my listeners and anybody who tunes into the show to be aware of how things work in crypto and to try to stay away from the hype and the FOMO and the FUD as much as humanly possible. And one of the best ways to do that is to stay off of Twitter. Stop following Twitter influencers. Do it because, number one, they're just out there to make money. It's a business. It's not something that they're doing and offering as a service. And at the end of the day, you really don't give a flying patukas about whether or not you made money. This was Jeff Kaufman of the Smash and Grab Show. Thank you for tuning in to betasyndicate.com's The Smash and Grab Show. As always, betasyndicate.com is an online magazine. We are not offering financial or legal advice. Please conduct your own due diligence and do your own research into any project that we mention or write about on betasyndicate.com or our branded outlets such as this podcast, our YouTube, Medium, or any other Beta Syndicate branded outlet. We do not offer financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making any financial decisions based upon the information you obtain from the internet. Consult a licensed financial broker before making any investment decisions. And as always, Beta Syndicate is an online magazine, not financial advice. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you. I hope you have a glorious Sunday. And hope you didn't find my show too boring. I have exactly a minute and 40 seconds to talk to you, and I will continue. if you would like to be on my show, or if you would like for Beta Syndicate to write about your project, hit us up at contact@betasyndicate.com. That's contact@betasyndicate.com. We do write in-house and out-of-house for projects. We do offer publication services and marketing services. We also offer in-house ghostwriting services and copyright services, editing and actually content creation management, which is something that I do for other projects almost on a constant basis. Most recently, I was appointed as chief editor for BitFlix NFTs by Tiger Miller's by Tiger Miller himself. To give you just an example of the type of things that I do. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. I hope you have a great and wonderful Sunday. Enjoy your last day of the weekend, and then enjoy the week coming up. Mondays suck, but they can be worse. So try to suck it up a little bit, Buttercup. Have a great day. Enjoy yourselves. And thanks for tuning in, Crypto World.